A pepperoni pizza for the table.
Thank you.
And may I suggest trying it with our Pepsi Zero Sugar? It has just the right amount of sweetness to complement all that cheesy, saucy goodness, while the carbonation and notes of citrus enhance the flavor profile. Simply divine.
Pepsi Zero Sugar? You've really outdone yourself this time. Pizza deserves Pepsi.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Tuesday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. In this second hour, we get you ready for the start of conference finals action in both the NBA postseason and on the ice in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Joe Maddon joins us later on in this second hour to set the stage for our two conference final sets starting tonight in Raleigh, between the Carolina Hurricanes and the reigning Stanley Cup champions, that being the Florida Panthers. That's the Eastern Conference Finals tomorrow out west between the Dallas Stars and the Edmonton Oilers. Tonight, on a very quick turnaround for the number one seed in the Western Conference, the Oklahoma City Thunder, after hammering the Denver Nuggets in Game 7 on Sunday, they stay at home to host the Minnesota Timberwolves for the opening game of the Western Conference Finals. We'll set the stage with a WCF primer here to start off hour number two. And then what I expect to be a rather fun middle portion of this second hour, buy or sell around Major League Baseball, our favorite game on the early line, but do not often focus in MLB. We'll do that here, DRS, in our second hour.
I think we need hour number two to just dissect what the NFL is trying to do to their game even more and get angry once again. Keep that energy level extremely high at this point, because there are a lot of topics around those owners' meetings that are really getting to me at this point right now, where they can ruin my offseason without trying to ruin my offseason, but will ruin my offseason.
Listen, I just would say, though, for you, DRS, looking at some of the topics we will discuss in MLB buy or sell, I think that heat and the takes are going to be there. Of course, don't look ahead. Don't look at the rundown. We'll do it on the fly now that we have reached hour number two. We start, though, with a preview, of course, of tonight's Western Conference Finals beginning in game number one in Oklahoma City. The Thunder and the Timberwolves. The numbers for tonight, and then we'll get into the series outright. 7.5-point spread in favor of the Thunder. Total now stands at 216. We'll dive deeper into the game in our third and final hour, a full preview and some picks entering game number one. But Donnie, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the number one overall seed into the Western Conference as this postseason got started. Our question always was, this is an OKC core expected to reach new heights in the NBA playoffs. Would they deliver on that promise? The answer so far is yes. Learning in a very tightly contested seven-game series in round number two against the Denver Nuggets. They beat the Nuggets by 32 in game seven. Quick turnaround to get ready for the Western Conference Finals against a Timberwolves team that is at this spot for a second consecutive year. More playoff experience, perhaps, for the T-Wolves. But the odds makers in love with OKC, and really, who could fault them? A minus 375 outright price in favor of the Thunder. For OKC to cover a game and a half in the series spread, that would be six games or earlier, is minus 162. Six games the shortest at plus 225, but just a few cents behind that would be five games. Oklahoma City winning in five at plus 270. DRS, how do you see the Western Conference Finals playing out between Oklahoma City and Minnesota?
Yeah, I think we're going at least 6 or 7. I don't think it's going to be a gentleman's sweep, and I don't think it's going to be a sweep either way. I like what the Timberwolves bring to the table. They can play defense, have one of the best defensive centers in basketball in Rudy Gobert, and one of the brightest superstars in the sport in Anthony Edwards. Now, granted, Oklahoma City is deep. They have a great starting lineup. That's no fluke that they won 68 regular season games. So if I'm looking at the minus 375 price to win the series, I do think they win the series, but at the same time, Ben, that doesn't mean like I have to like the price and actually bet that. But right. Hold on, if you think they're going to win it, you might as well take it. Not necessarily. I think there's some better ways to spend your money on a day-to-day basis. But also, Ben, if we, again, we're going to get into the game and the spread and where it goes and who we think are going to win tonight a little bit later. Help me help you, NBA. You ready for this, Ben?
Yep.
I see right now. The game starts tonight. Do you see the starting time? What is it? Can you tell me that?
It is 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, Donnie.
Okay. Now, let's get a little bit ahead of ourselves. Tomorrow night, there is another singular NBA game that will be on. Ben, can you tell me the start time of that game?
It is 8 p.m. Eastern time, Donnie.
What are we doing? We can't have every game at 8 o'clock where everybody can get to enjoy these games? Like, I grant, like 8:30 isn't an exorbitantly late start time. But why are we at 8:30, 8 o'clock? Can somebody just explain that to me, why that is? Why are they not both at 8 o'clock or both at 8:30? Help, somebody help me out, please.
I don't know if there's a good answer for it. I guess the only thing that I would say is an additional 30 minutes of rest for OKC, who played in Game 7 on Sunday afternoon. Local time in Oklahoma City, that will be a 7:30 p.m. Central Time tip. Tomorrow, local time at 8 p.m. Eastern inside Madison Square Garden. I don't have a great answer for you, my friend.
I mean, we can have paradise in the NBA, Ben. We really can. They fight me at every step of the way. There's no reason. Ben, if every game was 9 o'clock, I would just be like, you know what? I don't like it, but that's the way it is. But the fact that they put a game on at 8:30 and 8 o'clock, which means that window is the same exact window. Why not have more people actually be able to watch it at 8 o'clock than 8:30? It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. So again, we're going to get into the game. We'll have some fun. Love my guy, Anthony Edwards. Love SGA. But the fact now that I get angry that one game is 8:30, one game is at 8 o'clock, when they can both be at 8 o'clock. And NBA, look, you want more money? Put it at 8 o'clock. You'll make more. I can't do that. Better tax deduction to make less money, apparently. I don't know. Maybe that's it.
Maybe so, DRS. Who exactly knows? By the way, at stake in the tail of the tape between these two teams, Oklahoma City, best record in the regular season, 68-14, best cover team in the NBA throughout the regular season, the only team covering in more than 61% of their games, and it was more than 65%. But OKC has only covered twice in their last nine, a 43-point rout against the Denver Nuggets in Game 2, a 32-point rout in Game number 7 against the Nugs as well. Minnesota, a hefty underdog for this series, DRS, and of course, a hefty underdog in Game number 1 tonight, getting 7.5 points in the five-game set against the Golden State Warriors. Of course, Steph Curry not there in full, Games 2 through 5. The Timberwolves were never booked as an underdog, but a dog three times in five games against the LA Lakers in the opening round, 2-1, both straight up and against the spread for Minnesota as the underdog in that opening round. OKC has been at least a 4.5-point favorite in every single game so far throughout this postseason. Oklahoma City trying to get back to the NBA Finals for the first time since 2012. That was an old era. KD, Russ, James Harden, of course, first berth in the Western Conference Finals for the Thunder since 2016, the final year of Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook teamed up together in Oklahoma City. It's a new stage for this core, led by head coach Mark Daigneault, of course, by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is not only going to win the NBA regular season MVP, DRS, a hefty favorite at greater than a $3 price, minus 310, to win the Western Conference Finals MVP award, named after Magic Johnson.
You know what's great about that, too? You see the graphic. You see, obviously, SGA's up there top. Anthony Edwards also there up top. But I understand this. Look at the two guys behind him. Like, Williams, like, yes, we know he can step up for OKC and play that Batman and Robin. But Julius Randle has been absolutely fantastic. So there's some interesting options for those B-level players that you know should be able to step up. Because when you think of Minnesota, primarily for the most part of the season, we're only focused about Anthony Edwards. But Randle has really stepped up in that number two spot that you can trust in big situations. He could be the linchpin in this Western Conference Finals to lift his team into the finals. I'm interested in Julius Randle, see what he does this round.
Plenty more about the Western Conference Finals a little bit later on. MLB buyer, double up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time to play some Major League Baseball, buy or sell, bright and early on this Tuesday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. We said hot topics for DRS here in MLB buy or sell in this second hour to keep the heat up there as it was in our opening hour discussing those NFL owner meetings. And I think topic number one will do just that. Let's talk about one of the greatest young arms in Major League Baseball at this moment. Of course, that is Paul Skenes. A 2.44 ERA so far this season in year number two, his first full year with the Buccos in the bigs. 62 strikeouts, 62 and two-thirds. In 10 starts, the Pirates as a team are 3-7 because the team around Paul Skenes, not very good, especially offensively. Boy, they cannot hit. Now 24 consecutive games as they got beat by the Reds yesterday at PNC Park, by the way, 7-1. 24 straight games, the Buccos have scored fewer than 5 runs. And yet, despite how his team is failing him, Paul Skenes still the favorite to win National League Cy Young at a plus 200 number after winning Rookie of the Year around the NL a season ago. Here is the question. Buy or sell, the Pirates should trade Paul Skenes this season.
I buy it. Most people will buy it. Well, fans around the Major League Baseball should absolutely buy it. The organization will sell it by going like, oh, wait a second. We probably got at least 6 more years out of this guy really cheap. Let's use him up, burn him out, and trade him at the deadline before we actually have to pay him here. But for the good of Major League Baseball and for the good of the pitchers in Major League Baseball that are coming up, absolutely this should happen. Understand this. Like, the perspective is different. Like, if you're the number one overall draft pick in Major League Baseball and you are a left fielder, you say, you know what, I don't mind going to Pittsburgh there because I'm going to hone my skills. I'll get brought up to Major League Baseball. And by the time I'm 25 years old, I'll probably be a free agent. I'll be able to make a lot of money around there because that's right in the middle of your prime. And you might argue that, well, Donnie, isn't that the same thing for the pitcher, 25, 26 years old in their prime? Yes. But if I'm throwing 200-plus innings from the time I'm 21 or 22 through 26 and got nothing out of it, yeah, I might have got some awards for the Cy Young. That's great. But you are pitching and using your bullets there in your arm in hopes that you will be pitching into October, which is always the goal to win a championship. The goal in Pittsburgh is not to win a championship. The goal in Pittsburgh is not to even win baseball games. The goal in Pittsburgh is just to say, I'm an owner. How much money can I steal and laugh at my fan base by not giving them anything to cheer about, but we'll be rewarded because we're bad every year with high draft picks that we can turn into draft capital, never win anything, and keep the cycle going on and on and on. Can you imagine Paul Skenes right now, as young as he is, pitching for, let's just say, the New York Yankees, the Philadelphia Phillies, the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Chicago Cubs, any team out there that gives any damn worth of winning and is willing to spend money here, or how much fun Paul Skenes would be. It's the same thing, Ben, we talk about with Mike Trout. Mike Trout was thought of as maybe going down as the single best baseball player in the history of baseball, but now he's injured and we understand that. But the reason I'm going is, wouldn't Mike Trout have been so much fun getting a decade plus every year in the playoffs to watch the best player on the biggest stage? We never got to see that. And apparently, like, maybe Paul Skenes cares more because he's saying, like, he wants to win. Mike Trout seeming like, fine, like, hey, man, keep me out of spotlight, pay me all this money. I don't want to do any commercials for Major League Baseball or promote the sport. And maybe that's just the way he is. But we're getting robbed of seeing great players. Can you imagine, Ben, back in the 1980s into the early 1990s, where the Chicago Bulls never paid any money for the rest of their payroll and their team here, and Michael Jordan never made the playoffs? How much would be robbed? I'm not saying Skeens is Michael Jordan, but you get the point I'm trying to make. We want to watch the best players at their position in the biggest moments. And with Pittsburgh, he's never going to get a single moment there to do that. That's a shame. Absolutely, they should move him for the good of Major League Baseball.
I buy the idea they should trade him as well. And this season, you would get a king's ransom in return. One of the reasons, DRS, the Pirates should trade Paul Skeens and not just let him become a free agent in a few years, I believe in 2029, is unlike Artie Moreno in Anaheim for Mike Trout, who paid Mike Trout a very large deal at the time. Bottom line, Bob, that would be Bob Nutting, is not going to do the same in Pittsburgh for Paul Skeens. There is no doubt that the second contract Paul Skeens sees in Major League Baseball is more than likely going to be the richest for a pitcher in MLB history. The Pirates are not worth and are not going to put up that much in terms of their finances. There is a reason that fans at PNC Park, a beautiful ballpark to take in a game, constantly chant, sell the team, sell the team. They graffitied sell the team on the stadium as of yesterday as they were getting beat 7-1. It's because Bob Nutting, DRS, he is the 10th richest owner in Major League Baseball and yet only cares about profits. So he would not pay Paul Skeens even what he is worth or near that top dollar to remain in the Steel City. So instead of just letting him walk in a few years, maybe you get some young trade assets back if that is even worth it for the Pirates, a team that has failed to make the MLB postseason now for 9 consecutive years, dating back to 2015, second longest drought in MLB, only behind the LA Angels, who we discussed just moments ago. That is why you trade Paul Skeens right now. Is it going to happen? I doubt it.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. But the shame of this as well, because like, and you say like the 10th richest owner in Major League Baseball, like should he want, and most billionaires, millionaires, professional athletes in any walk of life, you want to walk in that room and you want respect. Can you imagine going around Pittsburgh where, can you even go out to Primanti Brothers or a good steak dinner without everybody looking at like, psh, there's this bozo owner here, the Pittsburgh Pirates. You can be a legend in that city because understand this, like small market teams can operate there. Look at the Pittsburgh Penguins here, how they've operated. They were almost bankrupt multiple times. They have multiple Stanley Cups because they surrounded Sidney Crosby with great players and paid players to be around them. You can also take a look at the Pittsburgh Steelers here, generations of being in a small market and having a ton of success. You don't see the Pittsburgh Steelers going like, we're just not going to pay any money. We don't care about coaches. We don't care about players. And we're just going to be, just come out to Heinz Field, whatever it's, Acrisure Stadium, and enjoy the afternoon. Yeah, they don't do that. Why do the Pittsburgh Pirates get away with that and do it? They don't get away with it because you can't get rid of the owner. And that's a shame for the Pittsburgh fans.
And you're going to waste one of the great generational talents we have seen on the mound in some time. More next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Right now, drive home a new 2025 Volkswagen Atlas for 2.9% APR for up to 60 months.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 6/25.
MLB buy or sell live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. A change at the top in the divisional standings in the National League East as of yesterday. The Mets, who lost their Subway Series weekend against the New York Yankees, got beat yesterday in Boston 3-1. The Philadelphia Phillies swept the Pittsburgh Pirates, as you should, over the weekend, and then made it 4 consecutive wins in a row, hammering the Rockies, actually in comeback fashion, but still hammering Colorado 9-3 last night inside Coors Field. Again, as you should. So the Phillies now a half-game lead at 29-18 over overall in front of New York, 29-19 for the Mets. The Amazons remain the ever so slight National League East favorite at plus 110, 30 cents in front of Philadelphia. But don't look now. Here come those Atlanta Braves after an 0-7 start to this year. Again, as we have shared multiple times, no team in the history of Major League Baseball has started over 0-7 and ended up a playoff team. The Braves are finding their footing. Now a game above 500 at 24-23 and a plus 380 price to win the NL East. I guess we can discuss the Nats and the Marlins. The Fish did walk it off yesterday, courtesy of Jesus Sanchez in a two-run double to win it against the Chicago Cubs. Our guy Jack McMullen on the call there in Miami on the radio broadcast. But DRS, the focus really on those top three teams that entered this year with three of the four best prices to win the National League pennant, only behind the LA Dodgers, the Phillies, the Mets, and the Braves. The Braves right now, though, as you can see, five games back of Philadelphia for that top spot in the National League East. So buy or sell, interesting, buy or sell, the Braves will win the NL East this season.
We're talking on May 20th, 2025 right now, this question being asked. I'm selling right now. Like, we're selling this because not only do you have to make up five games to the Philadelphia Phillies, it's 4.5 games to the New York Mets. Now, do they get Spencer Strider back, coming back this week? Yeah, that's going to be great. And by the way, Strider pitches either today or tomorrow, I believe, coming right back off the IL. Ronald Acuna on the horizon to come back. That's going to be two big pieces to the cavalry coming back for Atlanta, which will only help them. We understand that. But also, the Phillies are good. The Mets are good. The Braves are good. I'm getting two out of the three teams to knock off the Atlanta Braves and basically both have five-game advantages here at the end of May. I'll be foolish to actually buy that and say absolutely the Braves can win this year. It's a sell for me right now. Now, in a month, when the Braves might be two games back or one game back, if they're climbing, then maybe it would change in my opinion at this point. But I like the Braves. I like the Mets, and I like the Philadelphia Phillies. And if I have a five-game head start, only a fool, Ben, would buy the Braves right now, five games back.
I'm selling this notion wholeheartedly. Yeah. They started in a hole. They were 0-7. They were 5-13. They were 14-18 after dropping three straight games, but their first two in May. Have they responded since, winning 10 of their last 15? Sure. But last week, they lost the series to the Pittsburgh Pirates two weekends ago. They won three of four against the Nationals. They beat the Red Sox in a series this weekend. Atlanta has won five of its last seven. And to Donnie's point, yes, they have strong reinforcements on the way. Spencer Strider should be back. We hope that he can remain healthy, and Ronald Acuna Jr. as well. But I'm not infatuated with what I'm seeing out of the Braves. I give them some credit for getting back to above 500 as quickly as they have, winning the weekend against the Red Sox in Fenway. But I don't think they're catching the Mets. I don't think they're catching the Phils. Could they? For sure. It's 4.5 games. It's five games right now where we stand here on May 20th with a ton of baseball to be played and a ton to figure out within this division. But I'm not buying it. And DRS, we also often talk when we do a fade the public poll or something of the sort. What is the best bet to win insert X? Plus 110 for the Mets. Plus 140 for the Phillies. Half game difference, Philadelphia in front of New York at this moment. At a plus 380 price, I don't even think Atlanta is the best bet to win this division with a couple of extra bucks behind the Mets and the Phils.
Yeah, and if you want to take the Atlanta Braves, you can look at it objectively, say they're getting players back. The Philadelphia Phillies just lost their closer for 80 games and won't be eligible for the postseason, so that should play into it there where the Phillies might struggle. What's that?
Why who? Jose Alvarado.
Alvarado?
PEDs, right?
Yeah. Yeah, PEDs. PEDs going 80 games, won't be eligible for the playoffs. That's certainly going to hurt at that point. But then you take a look at the New York Mets, and you say to yourself, all right, well, what's their problems? Well, they have a high-priced player that doesn't fly on jets. That's been confirmed by multiple sources here. You know what I mean? The family's getting secured. There's a lot of things going on between the top two teams in that division where maybe the Braves can settle in, because a non-hustling guy that doesn't like his teammates, that ain't going to work out well. You know what?
Maybe a private
player. Buy. I'm buying the Braves.
Out of the battle box.
Come on now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
MLB buy or sell continues here on TEL. We now talk about the team with the best record in Major League Baseball. Imagine not having an American League pennant ticket on the Detroit Tigers from opening day. Donnie might have to imagine. I do not. A 10-1 price on the Tigers to start off this MLB season. I have always had belief in those Tigers in Motown. And now that price has been slashed in half and then some. And now Detroit at 31-17 has the best record in all of the bigs. They got hammered yesterday for sure under the arch in St. Louis, 11-4 by the Cardinals. But DRS, you see the stats there, a plus 80 run differential, 257-177, 31-17, best mark in the bigs, best mark in the American League, plus 450 that AL pennant price, and a 13-1 number to win the World Series. That's where this conversation goes. Ooh. Buy or sell. The Tigers are legitimate World Series contenders.
Buy it. Because you might say to yourself, what do you mean? The Detroit Tigers are World Series contenders at this point? No shot, Donnie. Look at the rest of Major League Baseball. Yeah, look at the rest of them, particularly in the American League. We know the Yankees are good. Unbeatable? No, they're 27-19. Oh, that's right. Detroit's got 31 wins already on the season. And you might treat them as the Houston Rockets of the NBA. Ah, too much too soon. But when you get to the playoffs, they can't win. Why? Because they might have the best pitcher in the American League that's going to be pitching in game number one of every series here, where you might be down 0-1 facing Detroit, whether you like it or not. And also understand this point, because if you don't like the Detroit Tigers to be a legitimate World Series contender, which means, Ben, you don't think they can make the World Series, who scares you? The Red Sox? The Blue Jays? The Twins, the Royals, the Mariners, and the Astros, they're right up there with those teams, which includes the New York Yankees. So before you, you know, get ahead of yourself and say, come on, Detroit can't win anything. They never win anything at this point. Understand the surroundings. Why can't Detroit just beat those teams I just named? And legitimately, a World Series contender for me means you must make the playoffs and get at least past the first round. That makes you a legitimate contender for the World Series. So for my money, I say, yes, again, the Yankees are good. But the Yankees don't even have as many wins as the Detroit Tigers do at 31. They are just as good, if not better, than every Major League Baseball team here in the American League. Why can't they be contenders? It's crazy to say, but I am absolutely buying right now the Detroit Tigers.
And, of course, DRS, there is still so much time to iron out everything around Major League Baseball, where your regular season record on May 20th might not represent what we have at the end of the season. But just as of this moment, to be in position, to be in position, if you will, 31-17, the record for the Tigers, a 4.5-game lead for the top spot in the American League Central. The odds makers agree, minus 260, the price on the Tigers to win the AL Central. Should get that done, should have the benefit, and as of this moment, 3-game advantage over the Yankees and the Seattle Mariners, actually, both teams 27-19 for what would be the best record in the AL, and thus the number one overall seed in the American League, which would put them right into the American League Division Series. All right, we've talked a lot about rest versus rust in October in Major League Baseball in the previous few years since the expanded postseason, but at least in a really premier position. And then, DRS, you would consider, what does it take to be a World Series contender? Because 162 games, late March through September, very different than playoff baseball in October. But what is the first thing we highlight always when it comes to a legitimate contender to win a pennant or a World Series? Frontline starting pitching. You're one, you're two, and maybe you're three, but certainly you're one and you're two. Tarek Skubal, the reigning American League Cy Young winner, followed now by Jack Flaherty back in Detroit. When you look around the AL at this moment, that's as good of a 1-2 as you will find in this league, at least in my estimation. So I'll take it. each and every time. It's why I have belief in the Tigers. And yes, I am certainly buying Detroit is a legitimate World Series contender. It's why I bought in on the Tigers pennant price at 10-1 on opening day. That is now at plus 450.
Yeah, Olsen and Mize on the IL, certainly not going to help there. It's really like your third and fourth options here. But you're right. When you get to a shortened playoff series, particularly that wild card round, if you are a wild card team, that you have Skubal on the mound first and Flaherty second, that is a major advantage. And also understand this. They've done a very good job of building that lineup 1-9, which a couple years ago, like, hey, you got some high draft picks like a Spencer Torkelson. We want to see how these guys are going to provide. A lot of good left-handed bats, a lot of good right-handed bats that are all starting to hit at the same time, which is why the 31 wins on the season is the best in Major League Baseball. They're going to have their ebbs and flows. They're going to have their lulls. But if you can really have every 5 to 6 days, Skubal and Flaherty giving you real honest efforts on the mound, that's going to go a long way. Major League Baseball, look, it's hard. And you have to get hot at the end of the season. We get that. But if you look at the American League, it's not nearly as strong top to bottom as what it was the past couple years, which is an advantage towards the Tigers. Again, no fluke. They got 31 wins. We'll see where they are at the All-Star break. But the question posed today in mid to late May is, are they a true World Series contenders? You can't say no. Like, they have the components to do that. And understand this too. Once you get to a team with another month, let's just go from May into June, where they're still maybe in first place, then it's up to that general manager and that front office to fortify that team with another bullpen arm, another starting pitcher, and another bat in that lineup. We'll see if that happens. But good vibes right now around the Tigers, and rightfully so.
DRS, those World Series odds right now, there are eight teams around the bigs with a price shorter than 20-1. Of those eight teams, five hail from the National League, three only from the AL. Again, most of our teams, even with a top 10 World Series price, six from the NL, four from the AL. It feels like a much deeper National League with many more true contenders than that in the American League at this moment. Because DRS, when you look at the Seattle Mariners, who are that eighth team with a price shorter than 20-1 to win a World Series at 18-1, I don't think entering opening day, there were many people that pointed to Seattle and said, yep, I believe in the Mariners as a true AL pennant contender, a team always on the rise, always expected to do something, although they have felt a little bit flat of actually having much playoff success the last two, three seasons. For sure, could they be in the conversation? Absolutely. But when you look at the AL West, the teams we highlighted, the Rangers and the Astros in front of the M's, it's a different story here early on in this MLB campaign. I have full belief in the Tigers. I am loving what I am seeing out of Detroit to start. And I really do like that 10-1 ticket on the Tigers I have that is already shorter by more than half. And I hope is even shorter come the end of September, October.
Exactly. Look, the Yankees are ahead of them. The Yankees have the pedigree here at this point, but we'll find out how good the Yankees are throughout the rest of the summer, as well as the Tigers. And again, it's the Mariners, the Rangers, the Astros, the Red Sox. In the past, you might be looking at, oh, much better teams, much more talent. Not the case at this point right now. Now, there is a lot of attrition throughout a Major League Baseball season. Yeah. Injuries will happen. Slumps will happen as well. It's just up to the Tigers not to just lose the ground that they've gained over the first month and a half of the season. But all good vibes. We're not to June yet, and still the Detroit Tigers could be the talk of the town here in the American League. I love to see it. It's fun to have that fresh market, including a really, hey, Pittsburgh, a really good number one young pitcher that you're supporting with talent around them. What a novel concept.
Tarek Skubal, by the way, is now the favorite once again to win AL Cy Young for a second consecutive year at plus 195. DRS, both the AL Central and the NL West are two divisions around baseball where four teams are above 500. The Tigers, a 4.5-game lead currently over the Twins and the Royals. Minnesota, its game postponed due to weather in the fourth inning against divisional foe in the Guardians, also above 500. The two teams sub 500 in those two divisions. The White Sox, 14-35 in the AL Central, and the Rockies, 8-39. 8-39 in the National League West. Just comparing those two teams again, of course, Chicago lost 121 games last season, the most losses in a single season in MLB history. Through 47 games, they were 14-33. They're 14-34 now. The Rockies are 8-39. Uh-oh, we're on the other line now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The conference finals begin tonight in the Stanley Cup postseason between the Carolina Hurricanes and our reigning Stanley Cup champs in the Florida Panthers. Tonight in Raleigh, it's game number one of the Eastern Conference Finals. To set the stage for that, and of course, what we will see out west between Edmonton and Dallas, Joe Maddon joins us here on this Tuesday morning for some puck talk on the early line. Joe, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. We've got great matchups here in the conference finals, and I can hardly wait to see how these do play out. I think we've got a lot of different ways we can jump into these series, get some future bets in, and then jump into tonight's game, which should be a good one.
We will get into game number one. We'll get into the start of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Canes and the Panthers in just a moment. But, of course, Joe, the reigning Stanley Cup champs in Florida, back in the Eastern Conference Finals for a third consecutive season, courtesy of a 6-1 blowout victory in game number seven on Sunday on the road in Toronto against the Maple Leafs. 9 consecutive years for the Leafs into the postseason. Never an appearance in the conference finals. More than 20 years, 2002 to be exact, since Toronto last got back to the conference finals. It feels like something is off in the postseason, Joe, for the Leafs each and every year. Can you put your finger on it?
You know, you got to look at the core four. The core four just isn't working together. They're not getting things done. And while Austin Matthews is fantastic during the regular season, something happens to him here in the playoffs. Nylander also didn't step up as much as we've seen him in prior years in the playoffs as well. And you look at the aggressiveness as well that the Florida Panthers came out with, and Toronto wasn't able to match it. They had 21 shots before Toronto even got their first shot in the first period. And then you did see as well Florida in that second period open it up the same way, just completely denying Toronto's ability to get those shots on goal. They came out and just had their number from the start to the finish of that game. Now, that's something the Florida Panthers do. They wear down teams, and they truly believed in themselves coming into game seven, even though they were out there on the road, that they were going to be able to get the win. So you got to feel a little bit for Toronto, but they have to break up that core four. You've got Nylander, Mitch Marner, who is an unrestricted free agent. You've got Austin Matthews and John Tavares. Something has to change.
Yeah. No, something certainly does, too, because even you win the first two games of the series, you have a pivotal game number five, you don't show up, then you show hard on the road in game number six, then you don't show up again in game number seven. That's like the worst case scenario, because it was just like, oh, 2-1 finals, overtime, we lost, we were so close. That core has had so many chances in so many years to get the job done. And getting the job done, being like, hey, why don't you just make a conference finals or even make it to the Stanley Cup, let alone winning the Stanley Cup, and it hasn't worked out. But here we are in the Eastern Conference Finals, Joe, the Hurricanes and the Panthers. If we look at the series prices, we are expecting a great series. It's the Panthers at minus 130 and the Hurricanes at plus 108. When you hear those numbers, Joe, what comes to mind?
You know, it's got to be the Florida Panthers for me. You look 2 years ago, they were able to sweep here in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Carolina Hurricanes winning it in four. And I do think they have every ability to do so in this one. Now, I'm not calling for the sweep. I am calling them for the win in six. You're going to have to lay the juice with the Florida Panthers, but you could also look at that bet in six as well out there, because this team is just playing at such a different level. And you look at Carolina and you look at Carolina's path to get here. They took on a beat-up New Jersey Devils team that was so weak on the blue line. They still had some inconsistencies out there. It wasn't an easy win over the New Jersey Devils. Now, they did have their way with the Washington Capitals, especially on that defensive side of things, locking things down on the Capitals. But I do expect here, this is a different team here for the Florida Panthers than they faced in those first two rounds. And I think Florida, with their elite offense, but as well as their defense, is going to have the way with this series. Now, I really like the total goals in this series under 34.5. I think both of these kills out here are so nice and strong for these teams. You look at those numbers, 1.8 goals only allowed by the Carolina Hurricanes thus far in the playoffs. And while Florida might score a couple more, Florida's defense is so nice and sound. And I do think this is a lower scoring game in the conference finals.
The Canes certainly dominant and impressive, Joe, in their opening two series against the Devils and the Caps, as you alluded to, but a different beast in the reigning Stanley Cup champs in the Panthers, who have been at least to the Eastern Conference Finals in three consecutive seasons. They've been in the Cup Final for two of the previous 2 years as well. Game number one tonight in Raleigh. It is interesting to see Florida as the series outright favorite and yet not have ice advantage. That is Carolina tonight. And when you look at the money line price for game number one, it's short as well. Minus 125 on that money line with a total of 5.5. And the under has the pretty hefty juice. Joe, what do you expect in the opening game of the Eastern Conference Finals on this Tuesday?
Well, we know how dominant the Carolina Hurricanes were at home all season. Their inconsistencies did come out there on the road. This team has been rested for a while, and they've been preparing to take on either Florida or Toronto, and I think they would have had Florida circled, expecting to take them on here. So they do have that advantage of more time to be able to prepare for this matchup. The Florida Panthers are off just playing two nights ago versus the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I do think this could be a letdown spot for them. Now, I don't love what we're going to have to pay here for the Carolina Hurricanes on the money line at minus 125. I do think live betting this one could be a great opportunity. I would look at this first period to be that lower scoring. Under 1.5 goals in the first period, as well as the full game, staying under that 5.5. It's coming in at minus 130, but I do expect Carolina to be able to get the win in this game. I'll be looking for a better number than minus 125 when the game kicks off.
It is really interesting as well, Joe, because as you alluded to, and what we're seeing in both of our conference final spots tonight, the team that was victorious in Game 7, just a 48-hour turnaround with one full day of rest. The Thunder remained at home to host the Minnesota Timberwolves on the ice. Florida had to go from Toronto, now back down to North Carolina to take on the Canes in the opening game of the Eastern Conference Finals on this Tuesday. We'll talk the Western Conference Finals that begin tomorrow night on a Wednesday in Big D in Dallas. The Stars favored in game number one, but the Oilers a slight outright favorite in the series. Is this the year for Connor McDavid and Edmonton? Maybe, just maybe, bringing a cup back to Canada, the lone remaining Canadian team here in the conference finals round of the Stanley Cup postseason. Joe Maddon's not going anywhere. We're back on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The conference finals in the Stanley Cup postseason begin on this Tuesday in North Carolina between the Hurricanes and the Panthers. It's game number one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Our reigning Stanley Cup champs looking to get back to the Stanley Cup final once again in the Panthers. 2 years ago when they reached the Cup final but came up short, they did sweep Carolina in the Eastern Conference Finals. Joe, tomorrow night begins the Western Conference Finals in Dallas. The Stars a home ice favorite in game number one, but the Edmonton Oilers a series outright favorite in the Western Conference Finals to get back to the Cup Final, of course, once again. An incredibly razor-thin edge makes the Oilers an ever-so-slight series favorite in the Western Conference Finals. Joe Maddon, who do you give the edge? What is your prediction for the Western Conference Finals between Edmonton and Dallas?
It absolutely pains me to say this, you guys, but I do think the Edmonton Oilers will be able to take this series. They're coming in right around that minus 118 to minus 120 for them to take this series, but I'm also going to take them coming in here in six. You're taking them in six at plus 195. You look at this team, and while we have depth all up and down the Dallas Stars, we've got those big names over there as well on all of these lines. Edmonton is just playing at a different level. You look at them, what they were able to do versus Vegas. Now, Skinner was able to get back-to-back shutouts in that matchup. And you also look at the fact the power play just wasn't converting there for the Edmonton Oilers. As soon as this power play starts clicking, and I do think it has to start clicking here, versus the Dallas Stars, I think it will be the difference maker. So your big stories is going to be Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid against Mikko Rantanen. While there's other playmakers, Mikko Rantanen has been an absolute star out here for the Dallas Stars, being able to rack up those points, leading the postseason here in points, Edmonton will need to slow him down. Now, Edmonton always gets criticized, and I've been one to criticize their defense, but their defense in these playoffs has really been able to show up. Skinner's proven himself in between the pipes as well. This team is absolutely dangerous to go all the way and hoist the cup this season.
By the way, taking a look here, Joe, at the Stanley Cup Finals here, the thing we love about the NHL, to be honest, is the fact that everybody has a chance. Look at the odds at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the Cup. Plus 240, plus 240, plus 280, and a 3-to-1 price. So when we talk about a true coin flip, it really looks like it is. Is there a team right now heading into the Final Four, if you will, that you would say gets the nod or the advantage?
You know, I really do think between Florida and Edmonton, we're going to see a rematch of last year, but I do think we're going to have different results this year. Edmonton has had that chip on their shoulder all year in the season, with Florida being able to get the win in Game 7 last year. And I do think Edmonton right now is where you want to put your money.
It's a really good look, Joe, and it would be that Stanley Cup final rematch. And could the Oilers be the team to bring Lord Stanley's Cup back to the Great White North for the first time in more than three decades? Joe, we won't go there just yet. We'll save you the nightmares at this moment. But as we look at the Conn Smythe Award odds, that would be the postseason MVP. You mentioned Mikko Rantanen, who was on an absolute tear in the opening two rounds. Two consecutive games with a hat trick for the Dallas Stars. And as we know in the Conn Smythe, it's the entirety of the postseason. But of course, you got to get to the Cup Final, and more than likely, your team has to win the Stanley Cup Final, except Connor McDavid kind of proved that wrong a season ago. He is the favorite now. Joe, if he were to win the Conn Smythe, would it finally be his time to lead Edmonton to a Stanley Cup Final victory?
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at Connor McDavid coming in here right around that plus 380 mark, I do think is the way you want to go. Firstly, I think Edmonton will get all the way to the Cup and be able to hoist it. And we know last season that he did get the Conn Smythe, even though he didn't come out on the ice to accept that trophy. And I look at Mikko Rantanen and I look at what he's been able to do. And while he holds value sitting there at plus 460, I just don't see the Dallas Stars being able to get to the Stanley Cup, even though he's been absolutely fantastic. You look at his back-to-back hat tricks coming in just three periods for those back-to-back hat tricks over two games. I just think Connor McDavid in this next round is going to be playing at a different level. You look at his points over on FanDuel, you got to take that all the way up to 10 plus points before you're getting any value in this series. I do think looking at him for four plus goals definitely makes sense in the series as well at plus 120, but I do think he has every ability to win the Conn Smythe.
A Wednesday night in Dallas. Again, the Stars, a home ice favorite for game number one, but Edmonton and Connor McDavid, an ever so slight favorite to win the West once again. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight in Carolina between the Hurricanes and the Panthers. Joe Maddon, as always, we appreciate the time. A wonderful breakdown here on this Tuesday on TEL. Our third and final hour starts next.